Let's open to Psalm 84. Yesterday, it was really a blessing to me to hear from a good number of you after we read the chapter. And I thought we should do that again and give opportunity for you to express something from the passage that we have read that is a blessing that God has just touched your heart with, even in the moment. It was a real encouragement to me to hear from you. So we'll do that again today. And I think I see that this chapter is divisible by three. So we'll do that same thing that we did yesterday, starting with the King James Version, going to the New International Version, and then the English Standard Version. Okay. Oh, I meant to bring my ESV. I have it in the room. So I could read with you. But it was nice when you read alone. Psalm 84. Together, King James people, let's go. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts, NIV.
My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God.
Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Go ahead, NIV. Verse 6.
As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools.
They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God.
Hear my prayer,
O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob.
Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed.
For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless.
O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you.
Amen. How are you going to speak? Do you want my Bible? You have to say something.
Last part of verse 11, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. That ties in with take time to be holy.
In verse 10, I liked how it said, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. I like how it says that, you know, even to be in the presence of God for one day is more marvelous than to be anywhere else. Anywhere else that you may think is a happy place, a good place, nothing compares to being in the presence of God, even just for one day. Meanwhile, you know, we'll spend eternity with him. That'll probably be more better than a gajillion, a thousand other places. Just to be, like, eternally with God, and just saying that one day is better than thousands elsewhere, rather than spending eternity with God.
In verse 4, it says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. And I love that, because in Hebrews, you know, it says that Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. And in another place he talks about his growing up into a holy temple. There's no better place to be in him, his house, to say that we live and move and have our being in Him.
Thank you.
Verse 12, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. This passage brought to mind a passage in the Psalms that says, trust in the Lord and do good, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And in another passage, I don't know what book, but He asks that we give Him our hearts. So, giving my heart automatically makes me know that I trust Him. And therefore, He is trusting Him, giving Him my heart. I am already blessed before I even. I just do it, but I know that I'm blessed if I trust Him. With my trusting Him enough to surrender my heart to Him, He is going to bless me.
Thank you. Joel, do you have something for us? I have something for you. Sister Kathy Dobson, reading the fourth verse and speaking on it, reminded me of another verse. Would you look it up for me and read it, please? Psalm 65, verse 4.
Blessed is the man who cheated and consecrates you, that you may dwell in your court. You shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple.
Thank you.
Verse 7, they go from strength to strength, every one of them in sign of fear before Him. I have learned not to rely on the fact that perhaps I'm getting stronger each day, but that each day God gives me the strength that I need to face whatever it is that I have to face that particular day. And recently I lost my dear mother. And you know, in joy and in sorrow, He's with us. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's some days I just felt, I don't think I can take this another day. But you know what? Each day, He provides for us the joy and the strength that we need for that particular day. And I can't ever face a day without first going to Him and asking for that strength.
Verse 5 says, how blessed is the man whose strength is in Thee. And the NAS, it says, in whose heart are the highways to Zion, which is different from the ESV and the King James. But in whose heart are the highways to Zion reminds me of Isaiah 35:8, King James. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, the fools, shall not err therein. Love that, the highway of holiness in my heart.
Amen. There is a highway there and a way where sorrow shall flee away, and the light shines bright as the day, walking in the King's heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
About the third verse, that I am thankful God to give us wisdom, like the sparrow that to lay all the young in His house. And I thank God for all that they will, God will blessing all our offspring from generations to generations, once we still in touch with God's temple.
In verse 11, it says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. And it just struck me that the sun on its own isn't necessarily a good thing. And plants need it to grow, but there's too much of it. It also scorches them. But the fact that God is provider and protector means that when He sends trials to test us, He always gives us a way out. I'm very thankful that He's both of those things.
Father, when Sister Ryko spoke, I'm just interjecting this. I still want to hear from more of you if you have something. I was reminded of something, and then I grabbed this because I wasn't sure if it was in this issue. And it is. This is, you can get this down at the Boathouse. This is the July-August issue of this paper called Things New and Old. And the first article in here is entitled Trusting God, and it's taken from a sermon by the minister who started this camp. And it says this: Beloved, believe what God has said, even if you can't see or feel anything. The happiest experience a Christian can have is to believe God and to rejoice when you feel nothing and see nothing but your weakness. How different when Jesus Christ makes His strength perfect in your weakness. You know it's not your own strength. We like to have strength on our own, but God will not give His glory to another. Jesus says, my strength. I work these articles before they ever come into this paper, so I was probably doing this one maybe Christmas or the beginning of the year. We have to work ahead because Sister Aletha comes to camp in May, and we have to have everything done, actually, except the last issue of the year is already put together. Well, I don't know if it's stapled together yet, but it's ready to go. And this touched my heart, and I've mentioned it at home a number of times. I haven't read it, but I've said, Jesus said, my strength. It's not His, not my strength, it's His strength. He makes us strong in His grace, that's true, but it's nothing of ourselves. Jesus says, my strength. So I like that, what you said, that you can claim that strength of His every day. And when you're weak, when you sense your inability or your weakness, that's when you reach out for His strength, and you find that Jesus never fails. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord. Verse 5.
This psalmist has discovered that God is everything to him. That He's all that he desires and He's all that he needs. His will is given over to him because he's decided it does, his reputation. If I could just be with Jesus, I'm willing to do anything. Wherever you place me, Lord, that's where I want to be. My whole desire, my will is to have you and to always behold you. And he knows that when he's in his presence, he goes from strength to strength, even through the valley, through all the difficult times. If he can just be, if God is in front of him, as we spoke before about having him always set before him, if God is just before him, and his eyes are upon him, he can go through anything. He's discovered that God is all. He's everything to him. His love is toward him. His whole heart is toward him.
Verse 3 speaks to me. Even the sparrow has found a home, and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. And, O Lord Almighty, my King, my God. I'm just thankful for being raised in church and at camp, you know, a place near God's altar. You know, it was never hard for me to get to church or to get close with God, so I just want to, just very thankful for that.
That's good. You too.
Yeah, ditto. Ditto.
What is it? Mega dittos, right?
Recently, there's a teaching in our city, New York City, and I guess New Jersey too, I'm not sure how far it has reached, that there is no need for us to go to church. There's no need for us to fellowship. And that even that God's presence is not in the church anymore. And I was thinking, how sad. It goes against every grain that the Word of God teaches. Mm-hmm. And those of us who love the Lord, there's a thirsting and a desire in our heart to be in fellowship, to be in the service of God. Of course, yes, we can praise the Lord in our homes, but yet God has commanded that we should be in His house. And we see here that David, this is his thirst and his desire to be in God's house. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee. And I'm so thankful that we have this opportunity of fellowship and of being with each other. As we come together, we feel God's nearness, His presence, His Holy Spirit. He's able to do marvelous in our midst. There's blessings that come from our fellowship with the Lord. And even this morning, as I walked in, I felt God's presence and His Spirit. For those of us that are here and those that are leaving, there's a little verse that came to my heart. It says, have you got your portion yet? Mm-hmm. In my Father's house is plenty, more than enough for 120. And of course, we're less than that. Mm-hmm. Have you got your portion yet? Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. The Lord wants to give us His portion as we dwell in His presence. Mm-hmm. Yes, He wants to bless us, and we want to give ourselves to Him. But there's as He gives Himself to us, we give ourselves to Him. There's marvelous blessings that come. And before you leave, God wants to fill us with His presence.
Hallelujah.
Have you got your portion yet? Mm-hmm. In my Father's house is plenty, more than enough for 120. Mm-hmm. And He's here to bless us and to do us good.
Amen. Well, the truth of that is borne out, isn't it, at the beginning of the book of Acts, where there were about 120 of them that were gathered together. And as they were seeking the Lord, one great day, 9 o'clock in the morning, there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. But right in that same chapter, there were 3,000 more, and then more, and more, and more. So that song that Sister Jean, that little rhyme that she gave us, is certainly true. There's plenty in the Father's house, not only for many people to receive, but for you to receive more and more. More and more, always more to follow. Blessed, happy are those who trust in you, O Lord. Wasn't that great, the way the King James Version started this psalm? How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. That's such a nice word. It just makes you want to get in there. But there's more than that, not just a delight in lovely language, but there's a longing. In this particular version that I'm reading, having given over my Bible, I have this one that says, I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord with my whole being, body, and soul. I will shout joyfully to the living God. I just want to be there praising him in his presence, giving him my all, pressing close. And then, O Lord of hosts, in this Bible, and this is right, it says, O Lord of heaven's armies. Again and again I see, O Lord of heaven's armies, you're my king and you're my God. And when it says blessed, it says, what joy. What joy for those who can live in your house. What joy for those who trust in you. Thinking of the sparrow and the swallow. There's some restlessness there. Augustine said, restless is my heart until it rests in you. Till I find that rest in you, I'm restless. The prophet Isaiah has it, there is no peace, says God to the wicked. But there's a rest for this restless, wicked heart. And it's found in the Savior, the one who invites us into his presence and makes us fit to dwell there. There we can find perfect peace and rest and perfect fulfillment and satisfaction. And God makes us a blessing. This is a good psalm for Pilgrim Camp. We've set our hearts, it says, and I think in the NIV, on pilgrimage. We're on the way. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. As pilgrim, going toward that celestial city, he stayed, or he was supposed to stay, and for the most part he stayed, on the straight and narrow way. And thank God, when he strayed, he was brought back. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And as you're on your pilgrim journey, the Lord makes you a blessing. This was one of my father's texts. I can hear him preaching on those who walk through the valley of Baca, he said. And I heard Baca this morning, and I don't know how to say it, so I'll say the valley of weeping, because that's what it means. They walk through the valley of weeping, and they turn it into a well, a spring. It says it will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. Isn't it wonderful to go through a place of sorrow and trouble and be able to transform that place? Can you do that? God in you can do that. We drink at the springs of living water. Jesus said, if any man thirst, if any woman thirst, he meant too, let them come unto me and drink. And as they come in faith and as they believe on me, I will be within them. The Holy Spirit will be within them, a well of water that springs forth from their innermost being. What a blessing, rivers of living water to flow in the valley of weeping. I was remembering being in sorrow and grieving, and what a blessing came through different ones of God's people at that time. I even wrote to someone, I will never forget, and I think that's true, I will never forget the way you were used to comfort me. Right in front of the casket, this brother came with his wife, and you know what he did? He broke down. You'd think that would just make it worse. He just broke down, as the Bible says, weep with them that weep. And then, of course, he pulled himself together, but he didn't have a lot to say. It was just the love and the light and the life of Jesus. I was so thankful for my dear brother that day. That was one of the men of our church. And I just remember in writing the notes, thinking that was special. I'll never forget how God used you to comfort me. They passed through the valley of weeping. Well, it's not just at funerals. There's much sorrow and trouble in this world, but God can make you one. The well of life is within you. And there the place, it becomes a place of refreshing springs. Don't you want that? Don't you want to be that way? Jesus can help us to be that way as we come to him and drink. Quench our thirst at that fountain. Our longings can be stilled in him. And then the swallow and the sparrow started to say how restless the swallow is. I was also thinking of the sparrow. Sometimes you see a sparrow on the lawn, right? Pecking at something, doing whatever sparrows do. But you notice they're always aware. No matter what they're doing, they're to the side, to the front, to the back, any movement there. They realize that they're defenseless and they have to be on guard. It was interesting. Thought that came to me about the sparrow. But he finds his rest. He knows that he's defenseless. I think that's a lesson for us. We're defenseless in among all the dangers that surround us. We're really defenseless on our own. But if we find our rest in the Lord and we come to his altars, there the Lord of hosts dwells, and when we live in his house, his protection is ours. Did you say something about our provider and our protector? The sparrow knows that he's got to move if something bigger than he gets too close. And so he's always... You ever see a creature? Maybe you have. Maybe your mother-in-law, I don't know. As nervous as a sparrow, I mean, so nervous. And yet rests in the altars or at the altars of God, finding peace and protection and defense in God. Just this morning I read something that blessed me, if you don't mind, in closing. A sovereign protector I have, unseen, yet forever at hand, unchangeably faithful to save, almighty to rule and command. He smiles, and my comforts abound. His grace, as the dew, shall descend, and walls of salvation surround the soul he delights to defend. I want to read that again. You mind? It's just so good. I enjoyed it. So this is my sixth or seventh time this morning. It's only your second. A sovereign protector I have, unseen, yet forever at hand, unchangeably faithful to save, almighty to rule and command. He smiles, and my comforts abound. His grace as the dew shall descend, and walls of salvation surround the soul he delights to defend. Praise the Lord. Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well.